The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock. Russell Smith back with you here at the Fan Run Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. The Top 5 at 5, brought to you this afternoon by OEB Law. Let them turn your wreck into a check. Go online to wreckintoacheck.com. We've got Jake Lester in here, OEB Law, presenting the 9th annual Turkey Drop tomorrow at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Come out and see us. We'll give you the bird. 3 to 6. Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Free Thanksgiving turkeys. They're frozen. Come get yours. First come, first serve. We got a bunch of them, over 100 to give away tomorrow. So make plans to stop by Smoky Mountain Brewery, right next to Calhoun's in the big Pinnacle Theater shopping center in Turkey Creek. We'll be there from 3 to 6 for the 9th annual OEB Law Turkey Drop. You like turkey, don't you, Jake? You're a good red-blooded American male.
Yeah, turkey's good on Thanksgiving. I wouldn't say it's like my favorite meat, but it's okay.
Did you just take a shot at me?
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm not talking about you.
I'm not talking about you, Junior.
You're a big weirdo. You don't like Thanksgiving dinner. It's strange.
Now, I will. I have one caveat.
Caveat.
One exception.
A caveat?
Caveat. That's it. Whatever. You say tomato, I say tomato.
You got a caveat. Okay, tell us. What's your caveat?
If you get a turkey and you take it to one of the, everybody sells barbecue in this town now, one of the 18 different places that sell really good barbecue in town, or take the drive up to Cove Lake State Park and get the professionals to smoke that bad boy, cook it for you, great.
So
that's a long way of saying you like smoked turkey.
Yeah, I like smoked turkey.
Fair enough.
Turkey's good. Come out and get one tomorrow. The Turkey Drop at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Jake!
Man, you guys better live it up out there for me. I'll be cooped up in here. But, you know.
Don't try and guilt trip us now, Jake. Well, you'll have your Thanksgiving dinner, too.
You know, everybody's got to do their job.
You could have yours and mine both.
I've got to connect.
You knew this was part of the deal when you signed up.
I got to connect Knoxville with East Tennessee's premier sports radio calling show.
You play an instrumental role. There is no downplaying it at all. It's critical that you are able to do your job here and your work here good.
It's critical.
Number one, the Lady Vols entered the AP Top 25 poll on Monday, and now they will host Stetson tonight.
Yeah, man.
It'll be the 500th Lady Vol game in Thompson Bowling Arena as the 4-0 Lady Vols take on Stetson, who is 2-2 with tip-off set for 7 p.m. Eastern. You can stream it on SEC Network Plus if you're not going to the game. The Lady Vols will be seeking win number 455 out of 500.
Do you know where Stetson University is located?
In DeLand, Florida.
Wow.
Whoa.
Look at the big brain on Jake. I'm impressed.
Go Gator.
We've never heard
the Lady Hatters.
Could have, Hatters?
Oh, he's done his homework here, evidently. Yeah.
The Hatters.
Our research. Have you done
the Hatters research? Or Adders?
Hatters, like Stetson Hat.
Oh, that's kind of lame.
Anyway,
cooler if it was like adders.
I get it. That's good. The adders?
Yeah.
What would be the adders?
It's a highly poisonous snake.
An adder?
Yeah.
A-T-T-E-R?
A-D-D-E-R. Oh. Adder.
Now, Florida A&M, they are the Rattlers. And the Lady Vols played them last year.
We played them in men's basketball next week, right?
You know any part of a rattler?
I think so.
You ever heard one in the wild?
Nope.
It'll make your blood run cold.
I'll take your word for it. Carry on, Jake.
Number two, we have college basketball tonight with a few ranked teams in action, such as Vermont playing at number 7, Virginia. And Steve Forbes takes his ETSU Bucks to Lawrence, Kansas to take on the Kansas Jayhawks tonight at 8, but it only streams on ESPN+.
Oh, well, it's a good thing I haven't canceled my subscription I bought Saturday yet.
There's also some football action tonight with Eastern Michigan playing at Northern Illinois at 7:30 on ESPN2, and simultaneously, Ohio takes on Bowling Green on ESPNU.
Wonder if Forbesy can go up there and give Bill Self and the Jayhawks a run for their money. I know he's picked to win the Southern League this year.
I mean, I expect them. They might get out-talented, but they won't get out-hustled or out-coached.
Good luck to the Buccaneers going into Allen Fieldhouse tonight.
Number three, the Miami Dolphins waived running back Mark Walton after he was arrested this morning, on a charge of aggravated battery of a pregnant woman. According to police documents, Walton is accused of pushing the woman into a wall and punching her several times in her face and head. He's currently being booked into the Broward County Jail, and the officer called to the scene observed swelling to the woman's left eye. She's 5 weeks pregnant, and Walton is the father. She told officers that she had told Walton about the pregnancy on Sunday.
Huh. Yeah, he's facing 15 years at Rayford, I think is their state penitentiary.
He was also in the midst of serving a 4-game suspension due to a drug abuse policy.
Yeah, not a real bright guy. I mean, you know, Russ, that was my first thought when the Cubs' mom told me, came, you know, home and told me that she was pregnant with the Cub. Hey, I was like, you know, I mean, who doesn't want to beat the crap out of the, you know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's
that makes total sense.
I think somebody that's the natural response
you
for a father.
The greatest gift of your life, a child.
Well, some people don't. I mean, I think it is.
I'll never understand them.
Common to respond negatively. Like, unplanned pregnancies can be stressful, disappointing, you know, whatever, but you don't react like that. Don't react violently. It's not the way to handle that disappointment.
Hope he goes to jail for 15 years.
Number four, wide receiver Antonio Brown posted an apology to New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft on Instagram today. Brown wrote, "Mr. Kraft, I apologize sincerely to you and your organization. All I wanted to be was an asset to the organization. Sorry for the bad media and the drama. Thank you sincerely, AB." And he spelled everything right.
So he had a publicist compose.
Well, he's missing some commas, but, you know, much better than some of his other work.
That's okay, man. I'm no comma master.
Semester's,
I mean, if he wasn't
up,
playing for the Patriots, I wouldn't care if he came back. I don't. A lot of this stuff with him, honestly, I look at it through the prism of, I seriously believe, and I'm not joking around, that some of the hits to the head, specifically the one that Vontaze Burfict laid on him, he was a different person after that.
Do you remember when he scored a touchdown and his celebration was to just, like, dive into the goalpost? Not really dive, but, like, he ran full speed into it and jumped in the air to hug it.
Yeah.
And just bounced right off of
it. Yeah, he's like a cartoon character. I thought that was
quality. It was the Pac-Man Jones. That was probably by another rocket surgeon, but probably my favorite touchdown celebrations, Pac-Man Jones, and where he would jump up and grab the pole and then slide down to the bottom.
Like a cartoon carry, yeah.
It's just so silly.
Number five, this weekend, ahead of Ohio State's big matchup against Penn State, ESPN's College Game Day announced they were going to be there. Also, the Big Ten Network tailgate show will be there. And I know all eyes are always on Ohio, but it really will be the epicenter of sports on Saturday. And anybody who's anybody in town... For anybody who is anybody in town, having so many options really wears you thin when trying to plan out how you're going to make it to every stop along the way. And luckily, the good people of Columbus, Ohio have already figured it out. They are boycotting ESPN this weekend. These are tweets written by Buckeye fans. "Nah, we are good. Go somewhere else," responding to College Game Day. "We don't want you here. No
they
thanks.
They turned on Herbie?
Don't need or want the ESCPN crew there."
Half of them are like Buckeyes, though, aren't they? On the ESPN?
Herb Street is. Howard is a Michigan
Herbie
guy.
Herbie is.
So the Ohio State fans.
Where's Joey Galloway on? Is he not on there? He's on one of those shows.
Yeah.
They're planning on attending the Fox show, which has Urban Meyer.
The Fox show is so much better. I know Urban Meyer is like...
I'll tell you right now, there's some fake-ass guy named Bear on that ESPN show. Me and you need to show up, and I'd like to strip to the waist and battle him.
Get this. He's the betting expert on College Game Day.
He's like Bizarro World Bear. Remember Bizarro World Seinfeld?
Probably loves Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yeah.
But there you
probably
have
not it. Very good with the ladies.
Thank you. thank you, Jake. It's... The Fox football show, have you guys watched any of that?
No, I can't stomach Urban Meyer, man.
It's only an hour long, but awful. It's so much, and it's weird. Well, they don't, I mean, they cover the rest of it. Like, the College Football Game Day show, like, people forget how good that show used to be, like, in the 90s when.
Before Lee got.
Yeah, even, well, before Herb Street got there, when it was Corso, Pre-Stroke, and Craig James, the Pony. Like, that was a great show. And even when Herb Street first got there, it was still must-watch TV. But
Craig James really ruined his brand, didn't he?
It's become such a shell of itself, and it's just this cash machine and everything, and it's not good anymore. Like, I don't watch it. I just recently started watching the Fox show, and I was like, wow, man, this is really entertaining.
Hmm. Well, who doesn't love Lee Corso? And he's such an integral part of the show, but man, he's kind of getting old, and it's really showing.
Yeah, he's not good.
He just doesn't make sense a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's not good. Somebody was bringing up, I saw some tweets about people were saying they miss the College Football Final show from ESPN where it was Reese Davis, Lou Holtz, and Mark May. And I was watching old videos about that. Where Lou Holtz will just go on like a 10-second,
Irish-ish-ish-ish.
I've never been able to do that one.
Or you couldn't even understand a single word he was saying.
Didn't they have a segment on there that was like a judge themed?
Yeah, that was what somebody said. For some reason, they had a segment where they would all dress up in robes. They did, man. Or they would get out there and argue in front of Judge Reese Davis. Thank you, Jake. Top 5 at 5 brought to you by OEB Law. Let them turn your wreck into a check. Come out and see us as OEB Law presents the 9th annual Turkey Drop coming up tomorrow at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Come out and see us, and we'll give you the bird, over 100 free turkeys to be given away by OEB Law tomorrow during our live show at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Any excess turkeys will be taken to the good people at the Love Kitchen, so come on out and get yours. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to doing that tomorrow. Who do we go to here?
We have Bear. Got
TJ?
TJ, the Kentucky fan, yes.
TJ, what up, man?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks for calling.
Hey, appreciate it, buddy. Hey, look, what I want to talk about is how y'all feel about this James Wiseman stuff. I know Tennessee and Memphis kind of getting a little basketball rivalry going on there. You know, here's my thought. I don't understand why it takes so long for these guys to investigate this crap and hand down the punishments when they know what's going on. When Louisville got messed up, I was like, come on, nail them. It took them a year just to get through the whole, investigating it and wonder what they're going to do. They still haven't been punished for the $100,000 that their five-star recruit got. They only got
TJ,
punished
TJ,
for
TJ, trip. Man. TJ. I got to stop you, man. You're a Kentucky fan. You're really coming on here and clutching your pearls because they're not hammering – Penny Hardaway in Memphis or Louisville quick enough for you? You guys have had giant packages of cash explode in the back of a damn Purolator, package service truck or wherever it was.
Where? What's the proof? We ain't got caught. They did.
No, you all got caught. You got caught.
He's referencing Kentucky Shame, 1990, the Eddie Sutton incident.
Man, that was 1990. Why y'all always want to bring up the past? Y'all like Duke basketball fans. Oh, we've won titles. When? Oh, 5 years ago. Man, y'all always bring up the past. We're talking about the present with James Wiseman. This is happening now. Should he play for the rest of the year? Should they vacate games?
James Wiseman shouldn't be the one that's suspended. Penny Hardaway, if you want to argue about that, I'll go there with you.
Okay, what do you think should happen to Penny?
I don't know. If I were Penny, I would say, you know what? And I don't like Penny. At all, as a Tennessee fan, I think he's been incredibly disrespectful to Rick Barnes and has really made his bed. Now he's going to have to sleep in it. But if I were Penny, I would say, hey, I'll get in line behind Bill Self, Ratboy Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, John Calipari, and the other snakes that everybody in college basketball knows has been buying players for 20 or 30 years.
I differ, but I respect your opinion, sir.
I appreciate that
you don't have to. You can just call him a dullard if you want, TJ. That's perfectly acceptable in these places.
Oh, no. Hey, and by the way, I forgot to mention this the last time I called. The young gentleman working for y'all who got the beer or Coke thrown on him in Lexington, man, I hate that happened to you, buddy. I really do. It's a shame that we've got some fans in every fan base that, you know, can't handle a loss or can't handle a win correctly. So I want to personally apologize.
How about that?
Appreciate that, TJ. It was just ice, but you know what? It's the
I kind of feel like the 5 foot six munchkin that decided he wanted to take a swing at a 6 foot seven former Tennessee football player for no reason.
We probably even know. You know, we found out, we did some digging, TJ, and we found out that the Kentucky fan who threw the cup of ice at intern Jake was aiming for his head. He hit his leg. And that leads to some speculation that it was actually Lynn Bowden who threw the cup of ice.
In all seriousness, thank you for the apology, TJ.
Hey, not a problem, man. Y'all have a good night. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, TJ. Appreciate you. We got to take a quick timeout. 865-546-8200. Let's keep these phone calls rolling. 546-8200. More of your phone calls coming up when we continue right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Citizens National Bank is the official bank of the drive. We appreciate their long-time, long-running support of the show. Get the interest you deserve. Earn 1.75% on a free checking account at Citizens National Bank. They've got over 20 branches now throughout Sevier, Knox, Jefferson counties. You visit CNBTN.com to find the branch nearest you. Citizens National Bank, where banking never felt so good. Let's get a phone call from Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. What's up, Philly?
How you, Burns? Like the snake doing?
Hey, man, we're doing well. Get ready for the turkey drop tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be exciting on it.
Always is, Phil. Always is.
You going to make an appearance, Philly?
I'm going to try to get down there. I got to get my turkey.
We'll have a cold mountain light waiting on you.
Really? Well, that's even better.
Yeah, I'll buy you a beer and a burger. It's my buddy.
Where's War Eagle at?
He went to practice.
Well, Jake the Snake, was having the Lady Vols number one on his top of the hour thing. It's kind of comical. The number one story of the day is George Pitts retiring from King College. He's probably the winningest basketball coach in the history of Tennessee high school basketball.
How about that?
I'm sure he's familiar with me. He won several championships in Johnson City Science Hill. He won several at Brentwood Academy. He took Young High School, which I went to the state tournament. He took South Young to the state semifinals, and he coached at Beard and had John Johnson. So,
how old is he?
1,000 wins in high school basketball and almost 300 in college basketball.
That puts him up there with Rick Butler's granddad. He won 1,000 games down in Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
Did Rick Butler's kinfolk win 7 championships?
I have no idea. I imagine he won a lot. It's a lot of games. I didn't know. How old is George Pitts?
He's up there at King University right now?
Yeah, this is last year.
How about that?
How old is he, Phil?
Well, he's got to be in the 70s. I used to be his basketball manager way back in the day.
Ah, there's a connection with Phil, yeah. Huh? All right.
Yeah, and a connection with Tank and a former coach that was at Maryville who built Maryville up into a good team, and the guy replaced him won state championship. So you got a couple proteges out there.
Well, well done, George Pitts. Congratulations on an outstanding career.
Yeah. And
Phil, how do you think the what's your early take on the basketball team?
I'm pleasantly surprised, but they can't play six or seven. I mean, we just about did the same thing last year, but we don't have as good a talent as we had last year. I mean, they had a short bench last year.
I feel like so far Pons has been a pretty good. He's stepped into Admiral's shoes fairly well. It's going to be, and Fulkerson shown flashes of it, but I mean he's got some monster shoes to fill in that Grant.
Well, really, Pons is playing in Grant Williams' position this year, and Fulkerson's playing in Kyle Alexander's position, and then I guess Jordan Bowden is taking over for Schofield.
You know, it's weird, Phil, because I remember when Barnes said that Admiral was going to play the three, and I was really skeptical because I'm an idiot, and I thought, I don't think he's quick enough. Like, that's going to be weird. And he certainly turned out to be plenty athletic enough to play out on the wing. And, like, my initial reaction when I heard that they were moving Pons down low was like, man, I don't know. Like, is he big enough? And just goes to show, man, you don't question Rick Barnes when he knows. And sometimes you just get a guy who doesn't necessarily, like, Admiral, yeah, he wasn't, like other wing players. He was much bigger, but he was a matchup problem for other teams as much as, you know, smaller guards, quicker guards were a matchup problem for him. And it's kind of like, you know, you go back 10-plus years ago when Pearl got here and said, Dane Bradshaw is going to play the four. And it was looking at him like, the heck is this guy smoking? But it was so unique and unorthodox that it was very effective.
Yeah, but we even saw one when Schofield was a freshman, he could hit a three-point shot. So you knew that if he could ever learn how to handle the ball and, get in shape, that he probably could eventually be moved to the perimeter.
Well, and at times, like our best offensive lineup the past couple of years was when Kyle would get a blow and we would go with Admiral Grant and then the three guards on the outside. Like that was a tough lineup to defend.
Yeah, it's almost like five guards in a way. I mean,
so I guess that's kind of what we're doing now, just more blatantly because it's out of necessity because we're such a guard-oriented roster.
TJ is kind of feisty for a Kentucky fan, but I'll say this. Wiseman was signed, sealed, delivered to Lexington, Kentucky, and when he was at Ainsworth, and then when Penny got him to come to Memphis, that was the end of Kentucky getting him. I guess it might have been common sense to know what happened then.
What do you think should happen there, Phil? You think they'll just let that kid play?
No. I think he should be cleared and eligible.
For the entire
season?
He's going
to the NBA anyway. I mean, if you're also going to sit out of here, why can't this clown sit out of here?
Well, that's a good point, Phil.
Given the Enos Kanter treatment?
Well, I don't think what Euros did is as bad as Enos Kanter. I mean, he was getting money overseas, wasn't he?
I mean, he was playing for money.
Or whatever you want to call it.
What was that? He was playing for he was playing for a professional team.
In Turkey? He's the one that can't ever go, he has to be careful leaving the country, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he's wanted over there in Turkey, ain't he?
Yeah, they'd like to throw him in jail or kill him.
You ever seen that movie, Midnight Run, Midnight Express, whatever? Yeah, you don't want to go to a Turkish prison. It's not
Billy,
good.
Have you ever been to a Turkish prison?
Not good.
No, but I've went out on a date with a Turkish girl one time. It was kind of entertaining. Yeah.
Was she pretty?
She wasn't bad looking. But
Phil, don't go out with ugly ones, bro.
It's a different culture, I'll say that.
Where'd you take her?
I took her to one of these sports bars around town.
You took a date to a sports bar?
Yeah, so you can get drunk. Why not?
Nice Turkish girl. Like you take her to maybe an ethnic restaurant or something like that. Kind of like show that
You got to Americanize people. That's just the way I look at it. You come to America, you got to be an American.
Oh, so you were
it's not the other way around.
So dating Phil was
what's wrong with this country.
Dating Phil's like an assimilation project. You're That's what.
Guys, Gitmo's behind center at practice. Well, that right there tells me what's going to happen Saturday. old Baldy ain't learned nothing yet. He's going to get his butt burned again, and then he's going to be home in the hot seat going into the
last game. Oh, come on, Phil. Who the hell is he supposed to start? Brian Maurer probably still don't know what his name is.
Well, start. He does better coming off the bench. Continue to do that.
Garantano's going to go out there, grind us out, maybe two touchdowns, couple field goals. We'll win that game 20-14, come home, bowl eligible, go kick the crap out of Vanderbilt and go to a bowl game, Phil.
You better turn that frown upside down when it happens, man. I mean,
well, you better have that beer and the hamburger waiting on when I get down there. See you.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
That's the thing with Phil. You can always offer by Phil a beer because he doesn't. He doesn't go out and just slam one after another like we do at the house.
Captain Romance. All right, honey, we're going to go on down to Rick's place here, get a couple beers in you, throw a burger or two down your throat, and
maybe
take you back home.
Dollar pizza. I used to work there.
Play a little pool, something like that. A little romantic Friday evening, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of comical. Stay with us. The drive continues, 865-546-8200. So they're trying to figure out a way to fire Muschamp over in South Carolina, but he's got a $19.4 million buyout.
Whoa!
Yeah. And
about a lot of crazy pills and readers.
Yeah. So they're kind of stuck. The AD is calling Florida State's AD, trying to like get tips on how to pay a massive buyout.
If we had an opening at DC, would you take him?
Muschamp. I just can't see like him and Pruitt. I just cannot see that working out at all. Maybe he's a good recruiter.
Yeah, hell of a defensive coach.
As ridiculous as Muschamp's buyout is, it is only the sixth highest.
Is Ferentz still number one
among SEC buyout SEC head coach buyouts?
Well, Jumbo's number one, right?
Yeah. Do you know how much his buyout is?
Well, yeah, it's the balance of his contract. He got $75 million guaranteed.
I'll tell you, 60, right? We'll go through the list. Some of the jaw-dropping SEC buyouts. When we continue, more of your phone calls as well. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
Sports radio for real sports fans. This is The Drive. The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DHE today at 865-566-0800 or visit DHE-US.com.
Authorities say a Florida man who was being booked for alleged possession of methamphetamine was found to be hiding a further supply of the drug in blank. Hiding his methamphetamine in blank.
His child's crib.
Incorrect.
I saw this one, so okay. I don't want to ruin it.
His mom's house?
His person.
Oh. Up there?
He was not keistering it, no.
Under his junk?
No.
I don't know.
Closer. In his belly button.
Didn't the article describe it as like a cavernous belly button?
It said it was a cavity. He had a big old belly. Arrest affidavit found by the Smoking Gun states that Martin Skelly of St. Petersburg was arrested Saturday for allegedly possessing methamphetamine in a 28-gauge needle on his person. The 41-year-old was reportedly discovered with the drug-filled needle at a Clearwater McDonald's after a suspicious person call had been made by an employee at the restaurant. During processing at PCSO, deputy discovered a small bag of crystal powder substance wedged deep within the belly button cavity of the suspect.
That's disgusting.
How would you like to have that job, man, where you're like the rubber gloves and you're just digging around in some fat guy's belly button? Tell you, man, police officers, they don't make enough. They do not make enough.
It's not just the cops, but it's like the jailers.
Yeah.
Guards that have to – got a guy that works for me at my other job, and he used to be a jail guard out at the P-Farm, and he's told me some god-awful – god-awful stories.
388 pounds, 2.8 grams of the drug in a small plastic bag nestled in his belly button. Before the discovery, he apparently claimed he did not have any other illegal substances or items in his possession. After the contraband was discovered, he said that he told police, quote, "I was just being dumb and not thinking." Say that again.
I was banging 7 gram rocks.
Meanwhile, a West Virginia man is accused of attacking his brother and other family members at home in Ohio after they said they were not going to support him entering blank. Fought his brother and other family members.
Priesthood?
Said they were not going to support him entering blank.
Rehab.
I saw this one too, but I can't remember what it is. So I'm going to say just entering the transfer portal.
Entering America's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to enter the TV show America's Got Talent. His family was not supportive, so he fought him. 25-year-old Gregory Rary became irate and left the home in Warren, Ohio, near Youngstown before he came back and started screaming. Police said Rary then punched his brother in the face.
In the face!
Police said Rary told officers he would kill his brother if he filed charges because that would automatically eliminate his chances of trying out for America's Got Talent.
What did they say what this guy's talent is? Besides beating up family members?
I assume he's some sort of musician, right? I mean, that's...
No, I mean, America's Got Talent. It could be anything.
Oh, like he could be a magician or something?
Yeah, magician, contortionist.
Do jiu-jitsu or
something. Maybe he's a fighter.
Yeah. They got that, you know, like there's one... Who's that lady who does the halftime stuff that I hate and you all
love? Red Panda.
Yeah.
She's not as good as people make her out to be.
No,
like,
she's
not.
Don't
get me wrong.
It's a ridiculous thing.
I could never ride a unicycle and flip bowls onto my head.
That should be. Everybody loves her except for me.
But she just...
Oh, we put Red Panda on the list. That's good.
They make it out to be like she can do it on the first try every time when I've been there and it's taken her like 6 or 7 tries to get the bowls
on her head.
I'd
just like to see her do it with a little bit harder degree of difficulty. Let me throw a grapefruit
harder?
At her.
What do you want to do it on a high wire?
Well, no. Let me throw grapefruits at her.
All right, so we add Red Panda to the list of awesome things that Bear hates. That's at the bottom of... Ready? Key lime pie, dry fit shirts, buffets, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas, screen door, Field of Dreams, Pearl Jam, zoos, Olive Garden breadsticks, tiramisu, King's Hawaiian bread, Halloween, and now Red Panda.
There was something that you came in saying, Bear, today that we need to add to the list.
Oh, McDonald's. I'll never eat there again after last night, man.
McDonald's is one of those things. I guess I'll go ahead and put it on there.
Almost to the end of the third hour, and I'm telling you, I've just started feeling normal again after my meal last night.
Need to start eating
They gave me
the
pumpkin pie.
Get the Impossible Burger.
Disguised as an apple pie.
Yeah, gross. I don't like pumpkin anything.
I just spit it.
Gross.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, you should start eating the Impossible meat.
There's got to be something to that. There's no way they can anything. I mean, it's like people that I eat turkey hot dogs. Oh, really? Do you know how many nitrites and crap they got to pump those things in there to make them taste remotely like a pork and mechanically processed chicken hot dog? A lot. Not that I know, but I imagine it's a lot. What'd you have earlier on this whole deal?
Me?
No, Jake had some nugget of information.
Oh, yeah. So the Impossible Whopper at Burger King.
Uh-huh.
They're being sued over at Burger King because some vegetarian, vegan person is upset that they are grilling the Impossible non-meat burgers on the same grill that they grill the regular burgers.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
The vegans don't like it.
Well, I mean, they've.
I know in
I had a friend, Barry, he used to be he was a strict vegan. Wasn't very healthy. We all told him that. But he would go to Taco Bell quite a bit. And they got it was maybe like just, you know how when ground beef, like in a taco, it's like those little itty bitty pieces?
Yeah.
they maybe got like four or five of those got into his like bean burrito. I'd take the dude to the hospital because he hadn't eaten any meat in like 12 years at this point.
It's terrible for you.
And it doubled him over. Like, I'm sobering for me. Yeah. I'm looking over at him in the car. I'm like thinking, I eat, you know, a pound of that like twice a day, you know. And you're sitting over there, 5 grains of it's about killed you.
But yeah, I know in restaurants, like you would know Bear in the back of the kitchen, you know, they have to change the pans and things that they've cooked meat in, and they can't like make a sauce in it if they've had meat in it for a vegetarian dish. Like you have to keep them separate.
Yeah, it's like a I have to go through my boss, his young daughter is one of those kids who's like, if there's even like a whiff of real peanut in the air, I mean, she could fall over and turn blue. Has to carry an EpiPen with her everywhere she goes. Got to be real careful with these people with food allergies. I feel like that's a new thing. Do you remember kids having bad allergies like that when we were kids?
No, I saw something about this somewhere. I don't know if it was a news story or what, but
explaining why there it's
why it's more prevalent now.
I mean, people are always allergic to bees. God rest Thomas. What was that kid's name off that movie?
Oh man,
Thomas P.T.
My girl. So sad. So sad.
Yeah,
creepy
two
movie.
Names. Yeah. Did you cry?
A little bit. I think so.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I left there despondent, man. I was not expecting that.
I didn't cry like I cried at the end of Charlotte's Web when I was in first grade.
That was pretty tough. Yeah, on the field trip? Or did your parents take you?
What do you mean?
We went and saw it on a field trip.
It was like on a TV. We watched like the cartoon and in school. It was like our generation's old Yeller.
Yeah.
The way they teach kids about death by like showing them these traumatic movies. Why don't we just like sit down and talk to them about it? Just like spring. Oh, you mean the dogs? He shot the dog?
Yeah, damn thing went rabid. Yeah,
the next day, like your parents are like crazy. You think about how crazy your mom and dad are. Like, just realize like that was like their first experience with death was generally like somebody shooting a dog with a rifle.
Bambi, Finding Nemo.
Yeah, they eased us into it with the
cartoon Bambi.
With the cartoon Bambi. Ooh, or Wilbur.
Rough. Wilbur.
And Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, it meant to be bacon.
So these buyouts are pretty nuts. Jimbo Fisher has the biggest buyout. Everybody knows that. Texas A&M. If they wanted to fire Jimbo, they would owe him $60 million.
They could do it tomorrow and never miss it. That's how much money those people have.
Who has the second biggest buyout?
I will go with Kirby Schart.
Nick Saban.
He's number four. Saban's number two, 34.1.
Roll down tide.
He ain't ever getting fired.
Gus Malzahn is number three.
Really?
Yeah.
He had a massive buyout last year, and a lot of people think that's why they brought him back for this year.
Now, Gus, if they fired him, they would owe him $27 million. Would you, if you're Gus Malzahn, would you seriously consider that Arkansas job? You're from Arkansas. You have heartstrings and all that stuff there. Big rebuild. Would you stay at Auburn, put up with the unrealistic expectations, knowing that you're never going to beat Alabama and Nick Saban consistently, knowing that you're probably going to get fired, make them pay you the $27 million buyout? It will probably go down. Like, if they keep him, it'll probably go down over time.
I'd stay at Auburn. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that Arkansas job right now.
Yeah, I mean, $27 million is a pretty good pillow to lay your head on.
Hell yeah. That and
like
Arkansas.
If everything goes
– okay, who's got the big rebuild? Us a couple of years ago with Pruitt or Arkansas?
Arkansas is not putting butts in the seats.
Yeah, I just feel like
completely lost their fan base.
Maybe I'm excuse me. Maybe I'm looking at it through like orange colored glasses or whatever. But I feel like we have a better tradition and a higher ceiling. I feel like the path is easier for us. We don't play in the West. We play Alabama every year, but we don't have to play LSU and Auburn every year. Like, Arkansas is just a tough gig, man. It's just a tough gig. Now, I think, like, the right guy there, I mean, Petrino showed, like, you can win big there. You can. I mean,
Houston Nutt had some good teams there.
They've got excellent facilities, no other in-state school to compete with.
They still have a whole lot of, you know, it's not a very, Arkansas is not exactly a real fertile recruiting
ground. Not super talent rich. There are some players there. You have to go into Texas and get players out of there when you can. But it's a tough gig, no doubt. Kirby would get 24.2. Mark Stoops at Kentucky is the fifth highest buyout. They would owe him $22.7 million.
He ain't going nowhere.
Did you see what Nebraska did with Frost?
Mm-mm.
They went ahead and just gave him a big extension last week. They announced it like right before the game, which I think they lost.
Yeah.
And they went ahead and like upped the buyout. See, this is what Tennessee – we'll talk about this one. We'll end on this when we come back. Because Tennessee, if we win these next two, or even if we win one, we go 6-6 and go to a bowl game, you're going to have to do something with Pruitt's contract probably because you didn't last year. You don't have to, but for perception, like there's going to be pressure.
It'd be good faith, too.
But you've got an opportunity to protect yourself if you're Philip Fulmer. We'll talk about that when we continue. The shocking conclusion of the drive. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this.
The best there was, and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
All right, wrapping up here, The Drive. And I've shared this thought before, but if we finish on a high note here, there's going to be some pressure because we didn't do anything with Pruitt's contract. And usually, like, it's very rare in SEC and D1 college football that a coach goes more than 2 years and they just leave the contract alone. Because the coach says, and I think this is a bogus claim, but he'll say, well, I need it for recruiting purposes. When I go into a recruit's home, they want to know that you're going to be there for 4 years. Well, first of all, like, we're still going to fire you if you suck. just because your contract is 5 years doesn't mean you're going to be here 5 years. And second of all, I've been following college football recruiting pretty closely for like 25 years. Not once, not one single time, and I mean zero, have I ever heard a recruit say, read an interview, hear an interview, anywhere, where a recruit says, yeah, I really like to go to Tennessee, but the coach's contract is only 3 years. I've never heard a recruit ever talk about a coach's contract.
Mm-mm.
It's just a made-up thing by coaches and agents to bilk these universities out of more money.
Absolutely.
So what I would do, if I'm Philip Fulmer, and I'm sure that he has other people that he relies on heavily when it comes to contract negotiation, but I would insist, I would tell Pruitt, I was like, look, man, it's impressive the way you saved this season. We like what you're doing, and we're behind you here. We're going to extend you and get you up to 5 or 6 years or whatever it is you want. But we're not putting you in this ridiculous buyout category, man. If you've got confidence in yourself, don't hold a gun to our head with a $20 million buyout. We'll protect you, but it's not going to be more than $10 million. It's not going to be more than $5 million. If we have to fire you, we'll give you a hefty buyout, man. You're going to get $5 or $6 million to walk away from here. But we're not going to put ourselves into a position where we can't fire you, like South Carolina is with Will Muschamp. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So that would be my strong advice. Not that Coach Fulmer's asking for it.
We're working like hell.
Let's get Marcus in here. Marcus, you're on The Drive, Fan Run Radio.
How you guys doing today?
Hey, man, doing well. Thanks.
Maybe I'm just naive about contracts. I'm just kind of curious, but are there not any kind of like clauses in it? Like, I get having a buyout in case, like, for like just firing out of the blue, but are there not any clauses that say like we need you to hit these certain goals to allow us to want to keep this contract with you? Is it all
no
contracts? Just all
well, no, yeah. I mean, they are incentive laden. Like, you'll get, like, if he win, you get a bonus if you win the East, and a bigger bonus if you win the league, and a bigger bonus if you go to a bowl.
I mean, he cost himself some cash by losing Georgia State and BYU because it messed him out of his – if he wins out now, it would have been a 9-3 season.
But that's
I'm sure he's
like,
got some bonuses.
If South Carolina is able to fire Will Muschamp, that's what I would do. I would say, look, you know, I'm going to go find some young up-and-comer because there are a million coaches that would crawl through a mile of broken glass to be the head coach somewhere at South, like South Carolina, right?
Right.
And I'll say, look, we're going to give you this job, and we're going to give you like $1 million a year to do it. Like, it's good money, but it's not crazy money. If you win 6 games, we'll give you $2 million. If you win 8 games, like, you know, you get, and you go up progressively. If you win the East, we'll pay you $4 or $5 million, which is probably the going rate for an SEC championship caliber coach, right?
Right.
But what about the other way around, though? Like, what, like, obviously with a rebuild, you go in there probably saying, look, we, as Arkansas, we know we're not going to win 6 games this first year with the new coach, but if you get 3 years in and you haven't won and you haven't shown progress, we have the right to terminate that contract. Is there anything like that? Like, if you're not hitting the goals we set out for this next few years, is there not anything there that can, like you said, protect the team and protect the university?
I mean, there should be. These colleges are just so – they operate – they negotiate from such a position of fear and weakness that that's just not the way they do it. But if I were them and I'm hiring – like, Jeremy Pruitt's a perfect example. Like, we were only – his only option, I would super protect myself. Like, I wouldn't give him any buyout. But – because he would have taken this job no matter what. Marcus, we're out of time, man. Thanks for the phone call. I got to run. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Bear. Overtime coming up next. Don't forget, Turkey Drop tomorrow, Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek, presented by OEB Law. Come on out. See us. We'll give you the bird tomorrow starting at 3 right here on Fan Run Radio.